County Real Estate Recording Commission for our meeting here on Tuesday, June 2010. And Mike Knipp, Janine Barker, and Jeff Carlson are here in person. And I'm just going to defer to those on the telephone. Maybe you want to just introduce yourself as well at this point, if you called in.
John Brown for the Minnesota Historical Society.
Oh, super.
The Mitchell, Dakota County.
Good.
Janelle White, Burnett Title.
Hi, Janelle.
Hi, Mike.
We have Ryan Tangen on it by chance? No? Okay. Well, we do have a quorum. So let us convene. I'm going to call the meeting to order, and the first item is to approve the agenda. Anybody have any additional agenda items they want to add? We'll make a motion to approve. Okay, it's been moved to approve. Do I hear a second? Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as proposed. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none. Approved. All right, let's just go on to the minutes from our last meeting from April of this year. People have a chance to review those minutes. Any corrections, additions, or modifications?
I have just one correction. It was actually, I informed that you gave a presentation at the MLTA. I didn't give that presentation.
No.
For trusted cement.
This was actually at the last meeting. You gave it, you updated for Jeff because he wasn't here.
Okay.
That regards you.
Mike gave the presentation.
Okay.
Any other corrections? If not, I entertain a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, it is approved and carried. Let's go on to the item four on our agenda, the ECRB update. And as a precursor, let me just share that we have some guests with us today from the Minnesota Department of Revenue, and they're always a welcome group of individuals that we look forward to in terms of our relationship with that department very much, because we know how critical they are for our state and also for real estate commerce. I think at our last meeting we had heard rumors that there was a new sheriff in town in the property tax division for the department. His name was John Hagen. I've had the opportunity of meeting John here in the last month and a half, and very glad to have him on board, and had some very good discussions with him here in the last week and a half about our ECRB efforts and electronic recording. And I know John has got Jason with him and the rest of the folks from the department, and I told him we would very much like to have him join us today and kind of give us an overview update on the ECRB project, and perhaps to be able to talk to us about what we might be able to do, at least until they're fully able to operate their ECRB activity, to make it possible for electronic recording to move forward throughout the state of Minnesota for those submitters and counties that wish to electronically record. So, John, with that, I'll just turn it over to you if you can kind of give us an overview update and introduce your staff that are here with you, and it's all yours. We anxiously await good news and moving forward.
Thank you, Mike. It's been an interesting process since I became director about a month ago, working with you and engaging in a couple of disputed discussions and meetings we've had. I had no idea there was so much activity going on in ECRB, and I guess I've been a little blind to some of the activity that was going on, but the last month has been a very big learning curve for me, and I think we're on the road to some really positive things and going to accomplish a lot of great things. With me today is Jason Parker, who's spearheaded ECRV for a number of years and is a key integral part of the process going forward, and Mike Stahlberger, who has a burning interest in anything to do with certificates of real estate value. Mike's worked in different parts of the department. He's worked as an information secretary, and he's currently serving as a regional rep, and he's got a lot of ground-based knowledge on what we need for CRVs. As I mentioned, it's been a huge learning curve for me, starting to get involved in ECRV and trying to figure out where we're at and what's happened and what's transpired. And I guess one thing that's become very apparent in listening to you and talking to you in particular, Mike, is how long this process has gone on. And I do extend our apologies for the length of time it's taken, and I appreciate the patience you've shown in it. It certainly was nobody's desire to make it string out this long. I guess looking at reasons that caused it to go so long was it probably wasn't funded properly in the beginning. There's no question it wasn't funded properly. There was a lot of competing demands for various within the department for different funding mechanisms, and ECRV wasn't always particularly successful. And I guess in the early days, it probably wasn't embraced that much by the department on a whole. Property tax division always made it a priority to a greater or lesser extent, but it just didn't deserve, it didn't receive the attention it probably needed. It certainly didn't receive the funding it needed for a very long period of time. Added to that, it's an extremely complex process. The whole process of recording and certificates of real estate value and electronic filing and interactions are extremely complex, and has probably been much more complex than I would have ever envisioned. Just in the last month, I've learned some of the complexities and some of the issues we're dealing with that one would never think of looking at it real superficially. And, of course, it was exacerbated by the Social Security number transmission, which has been a huge hang-up, trying to keep satisfy IRS standards and department standards and make sure we've properly protected all the identities of all our citizens that are is critical to us. And so I guess with that apology, such as it is, again, I appreciate your patience. The whole department appreciates your patience. But I do have to tell you that that was then, and now is a very, very different time. And it didn't change with me. I think it changed primarily with Gordon Fulton as director. Well, he did a tremendous amount of work to bring attention to it and to get some additional funding for Jason and for the IT group and brought the IT into the fold. And as I mentioned, it wasn't always a priority in the department, and nothing could be more different in the future. It's a huge priority with the department right now. We're very, very committed to ECRV. We're very committed to funding it and to putting the necessary staff in place to get it done and to have an outstanding state-of-the-art product when we're finished with it. There's a lot of pressure from above to perform and to get this done. And now, if it's not our number one project, it's our second project. It's a hugely important project to the department. So we've gone 180 degrees from the outset, and it wasn't particularly important. It's critically important right now. I know, Mike, you and I have had some conversations of workarounds or a parallel process, which would help to bridge us between the paper CRV and the future electronic submission. And I think I'm going to turn over to Jason Parker in just a minute, and he's going to walk through a few of the proposals he's helped to develop and identify that along with Jim Biggs of our IT support people, that would hopefully be a real, real meaningful bridge between the past and the future, and I think you're going to be very pleasantly surprised with Jason's presentation. So I turn over to Jason.
Super. Jason, maybe before you start, I should just ask perhaps some of the rest of our guests to introduce themselves, because I know there are some folks here that are very interested in what you as a department are doing and so forth, and so I think just to... You need to be aware of who they are and so forth, so maybe I just ask, start over on the... your right side, my left side of the room, and Marty, maybe you want to introduce, and you just go across and just who you are and where you're from.
Marty Hinchel with Edina Rosen Title.
Dallin Miner from Simplifile. Rob Rice from First American Title Insurance National Commercial Services.
Hey. Hey, Rookie Martins County, Israel.
Kay will be, by the way, a new member of the commission here starting next month, so welcome, Kay.
Scott Moore, Business Technologies.
Mark Monticelli, St. Louis County Recorder, and also with Korea.
Dean Pass, West Central Elementary.
John Pugliese, Washington County.
Bill Morey, Trammon Systems.
John Watrick, Minnesota Department of Revenue, on the development team.
Larry Delane, Anoka County.
Very good. And then we've got our trusty staff over here from LCC, Sally and Diane, that we can't do without, so very much. We just had a couple of new people join us on the telephone. Welcome, and glad to have you with us. Want to identify yourselves?
Ryan Tangen, Becker County.
Well, Mr. Tangen, congratulations.
Yeah, it's living underwire. Sorry about that.
Mr. Tangen is another one of our commission members, and he is serving his last meeting today with us as well. So welcome, Ryan. We're just going to start a presentation from Jason Parker, and we've just had one from John Hagen with the Department of Revenue about CRBs and perhaps an interim process that we might use for being able to electronically record and deal with the CRB during the interim until a full ECRB is ready. Any others that just joined us on the phone? Well, very good. Jason, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I thought, well, you get a chance to get set up and maybe just find out who's all here with you, too. So if the rest of you would like to somehow come up, if some of you would like to even come up here in the seats, you're more than welcome. We don't need to be quite as formal as maybe this room is set up for. We're a little bit usually more informal, so feel very free to come on up here and sit up at the dais with us, and you can maybe see what Jason's presenting a little easier for everybody. So, Marty, Rob, you guys don't have 180-degree vision here on the side. So.
Just don't try to take Mike's gap.
Sure. I have 12 copies of a discussion of the proposal.
I can make a few more.
And I also have it available on the screen here, so thank you for the opportunity to present this. And we were doing this, of course, at the urging of the ERERC to try to come up with an alternative for allowing TV recording activity in advance of a full rollout. I think everyone is in sync that a full rollout of ECRB is really the long-term solution for getting this done. The problem is that we are not mandating the pace of that within counties. We also need to make sure that we have the correct infrastructure within the Department of Revenue to handle the volume and make sure that all recording that happens or ECRBs that happen do not hold up property transactions. And we realize that that's very, very critical. And that's a kind of application that Revenue is still getting their hands around on being able to do correctly and handle the Social Security numbers appropriately. So, you know, our goals primarily in this process is to make sure that we're securing the private data and that we are not going to impact the full rollout of ECRB specifically. And I know that people can read ahead very, very quickly, so let me just jump right to the slide. What we're presenting here is two options today, and we are hoping to be able to at least do option one, if not try to do option two in a short amount of time. But we're still vetting out option two, so we just caution the committee that we're still working and trying to figure out, you know, what the pace that could be. But option two, as you'll see, has a number of good advantages. The first option, though, is involves very limited resources technically and just a change in process that I think would actually allow for the e-recording to occur. And essentially it would be to continue to use the existing paper form, have the original submitter fill it out, but rather than give all four copies directly to the county, we would have the submitter rip off the pink copy and send that to the Department of Revenue directly. And this would then allow the submitter to scan the remaining part of the form that does not hold private data in it and include that scan in a transmission to the county. Revenue then would take the pink copy that it received directly from the submitter and process it as paper as it does today. The county would then receive the e-recording thing, and once they accept that, they could then print the scan of that, and it would continue the paper process as before. And so this is actually the reusing as much of the existing process as possible
with really very minimal technical change within the department and very minimal technical change within the county. You know, what has held up this idea was whether or not we could verify and validate the submission of the Social Security numbers, and the department has determined internally how we would accomplish that so that we're getting compliance on that side. So that is option one. Are there any questions about that option before I go on to option two? Jeff?
The submit, when you're talking about submit, is that thrown it in the mail to submit?
That would be thrown into the mail.
Okay, not an electronic submission.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, you know, the key part of this is that we do not want the Social Security numbers to be electronically captured outside of the department.
Okay.
And that is actually one of the things that's been holding up the entire process. Because once they're captured, you know, if you were to scan it or email it or whatever, it's sitting in someone's backup, it's sitting in a copy somewhere, and the minute that gets out, the department will be blamed for that process, and maybe rightly so. It's our form, and we're, you know, establishing what the appropriate process would be. So that this way, it's not going to be captured electronically in any way until it would be received within the department's bounds.
Okay.
Any other questions about that? Now, option two is a way of trying to get rid of the original form and basically use ECRV as a front end. The problem with using ECRV as a front end is that counties have to do a transition process, and that's one of the things that's going to take time for rolling out ECRV. So this is a way of trying to minimize the amount of impact on the county side and still allow ECRV to be used on the front end side. And essentially the short of it is that the original submitter would fill out ECRV and they would get a receipt page and they would get access to a PDF that was created from that process. And then they would copy that PDF, and once they leave that page, it's gone. We don't persist it, and we don't ask the counties to log back in to retrieve it. So the counties don't have to learn how to use ECRV and manage their process. The PDF, then, has the advantage of being an ECRV PDF, so it's in the ECRV format. It does not contain the private data because that's already been collected within the revenue server side. And so you can include that PDF or any, you know, you can include that PDF in the e-recording packet that you send to the counties. And then the counties can print that PDF and it continues on the paper process as before. So it has a number of advantages in that regard. And in fact, it's got an additional advantage of being a different model for phasing in the use of ECRV, which has got, a very big advantage statewide of getting people to be using ECRV. And really, from the submitter's point of view, other than the fact that you're including it, the PDF in the e-recording package, it could be identical to the way you're going to use ECRV in the long run. In fact, you can even include the PDF in the long run, because we don't care how you get the CRV ID to the county. The fact that it's on the PDF is probably sufficient. So then once the county is prepared and the Department of Revenue is prepared for the volume that would be hitting the department's infrastructure, then that county could roll over to the full use of the ECRV. Instead of them printing the copy, they would then log in to the ECRV system and work it from it there. And that process actually can be sort of transparent to the submitter. So option two has a lot of number of strong advantages, and the steering team met yesterday concerning this option and was supportive of it, but we have not formally declared how much resources it would take for us to modify the front end, but we're encouraged and have a positive outlook that it would be something that we might be able to do in relatively short order. If that did not happen, though, we have option one to fall back. There's some questions about option two.
Jason, I have a question. I'm just trying to understand the process here. is your choice to is it your choice to want to do one or the other, or are you going to do one and move into the other?
I think ideally, but we could do if it was determined that the resource shifting and the delay on doing option two was such that we still wanted to do it, we could possibly do option one and then shift into option two. That's possible. That we would have to make a determination at that time. We're hoping that maybe what we can do is report specifically next month. I mean, this is my personal statement here, is that next month we'd be able to report to say, look, on this date, we'll be able to start e-recording for those that do. Now, the couple of the conditions that are in the document that I'm not showing here on the screen slides is that we would be asking that companies that want to e-record need to register with us so that we know who's doing it. And we want the counties to also register with us to say, yes, we are prepared to accept e-recording so that we can manage, who's using this unique process and so forth. That's maybe more important in the option one case than it is in the option two case. Because of the option one case, has the Social Security numbers being sent directly to us from the submitters.
Okay. My next question is, the next step for eCRVs totally, is this the front end of that? Is that what you're telling us?
That this is a front end.
We're not going to create the wheel and then have to turn around and create it again.
Well, there's, as part of the infrastructure work the Department of Revenue is doing, they may replace portions or the front end, but that would be a relatively seamless process in terms of the rollout.
No, I know I've been a real hard pusher on this, but...
Push away.
But I also don't want to take up valuable time to get to the final end.
Sure.
So if step one gets us done so that you can do the final end... or whether this piece in the middle helps you get to the final end quicker, that's why we don't want to use what resources you have twice.
Okay, so thank you for saying what I think I was trying to say before, which is, clearly doing option two has a resource impact, but it also has some advantages. So what we are scoping out is what's the relative resource and time impact versus those advantages. And, we are encouraged. We believe that the answer will probably be yes, that it makes a lot of sense in terms of the eCRV rollout, and it makes a lot of sense in terms of providing the submitters what they want, and it provides an opportunity for counties to get involved and learn eCRV sort of halfway. And so I think there's a lot of good reasons why we would choose to do that. And we believe that the minimal impact to the long-term piece that you are saying, the full rollout of eCRV, is relatively small. So I think all those answers are going to say that we'll probably say that we want to do option two. I just can't commit to it today.
Do you have a time at this point, Jason, to know? You said steering committee support. You kind of waffled on resources and time. Do you have any rough idea in terms of option two when it might be available?
With a matter of months, just maybe 2 months, somewhere in that neighborhood.
But I heard you say that you'd give us a better idea of that
at the next meeting.
Yeah.
And I think that if we have determined that the option two doesn't have a date at the next meeting, then we could declare a date for option one.
Now, let me ask the question. Option one that you've rolled out to us, is that something the department would be comfortable in moving forward with even today? Do you need additional resource to make that type of decision at this point?
Minimally, because what we were saying is that we would have to do some a minimal amount of administrative tasks of saying, what's the process for people notifying us? What's the letter of acceptance that we're saying, yes, we accept that you're going to be using this process and that you can use this process during this transition period. So it's very minimal. So we could roll that out fairly quickly.
So if we already have a list of those who are submitting in the state, We already have a list of the counties that are accepting. Do you need more than that?
We probably need, I don't know the answer to that because we haven't gone through the process of setting up that process, but I think that it needs to be some kind of formal, you know, formal declaration.
But it sounds like an option too, that would, there would probably be less likely a need for that type of, because you'd have that matching capability. Right.
Well, yeah, part of it is that we want to make sure that the volumes and the support is going to be there, because if, you know, suddenly everyone in the state was, you know, declaring that they're an e-recording provider and using the front-end eCRE system, you know, there's still going to be some discussion to counties about what it is and how it's going to work. And so we can't just sort of suddenly turn on the spigot and say, boom, everyone just hit it, and we'll just have a little bit of chaos. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're communicating this effectively to both the submitters and the counties to be able to handle that kind of, you know, transition. And one of the ways to, I think, manage that is to ask people to just declare that they intend to use it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. How about... do you foresee any other gaps between, and maybe this question for DOR and counties, is the questions are slightly different, right? And what's presented is slightly different.
Yeah.
Is there concerns that would cause with the county side and the way they enter? and your side of things? I think there's just additional questions.
Yeah, essentially the two forms, the PE20 and the PE28, have been combined, relatively speaking. And then there's a couple of minor things. Because the county is not processing the back-end side of the form separately, that the change there is actually, you know, going to be almost zero. And I don't think that there's much in the way of change on the county side. There's going to be a little bit of, we're going to have to discover that a little bit. Now, Dakota has actually been sort of, because we've been in production with Dakota, and they have been marrying their paper process along with the ECRB process, we'll be able to take, the things that they enter into to follow the paper process and spread that around the counties. We actually have a FAQ already in place to talk to counties about that, and maybe Teresa Mitchell, who's on the phone at Dakota, can say, you know, what changes they have to do, because the county enters in the current paper document into a local system and they produce a flat common delimited file to the Department of Revenue. And so there would be the only place I'd be concerned about. And that is a subset of the data, and I believe that the subset is, you know, essentially no change between the two processes. Okay. Do you have a comment on that, Teresa?
I would agree for the most part. There's minimal programming change we had to do to first capture values by class instead of on the parcel level, and then group that way on the electronic file, that flat file that still comes. So there was minimal. It was manageable.
Question for you, Jason. Under either option one or two, would Dakota be able to continue their pilot in doing all CRVs electronically with the current state CRV form?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, we do want to continue adding, you know, with the infrastructure and the ability to handle volume, we do intend to continue to roll out ECRV to a number of smaller counties. We're having a little problem with Hennepin simply because Hennepin is so large, and we want to make sure the volume can be handled correctly there. So we can add a few. I met with Olmsted County last week, so they have an implementation guide.
Olmsted will be glad to know they're now considered a small county.
Well, relatively speaking,
we're all small in comparison.
We're all very, very large in our hearts. So, we have Steele County scheduled for July 8th. I sent an implementation guide to Lyon County this week. I want to schedule something with Martin, so I wanted to talk
Thank
with
you.
Kay actually before she leaves today. So we can start talking. The Wabashaw's on the list, Clay's on the list, Blue Earth has been knocking on my email door in the last couple weeks very, very heavily wanting to get going over there. So we can begin the process of getting those counties marched forward, and that's going to be what a lot of my time is going to be over the next year and a half to 2 years, is helping counties and hand-holding them in that process. What we probably can't do is get them all to production at the same time or within the same time frame. We may say that, well, this county is ready. We say yes to production for that county, yes to production for this county. We may have to be in a position to say, well, we need to hold off internally for just a few months. We'll have to see how that plays out. But we want to get the pipeline rolling. And so ECRB would still, we wouldn't be stopping the ECRB process. It's the short answer to your question.
And I have spoken with Lyon County about their contribution to your fund that hasn't been forthcoming.
It would have been the next sentence out of
that email. Will,
my understanding was we were supposed to pay when we came on board. And so I didn't want to screw up the bookwork. So no, I thought that's the way it was.
Always feel free to send me
technically, it's actually that when you want to get on the list and sign up, it's half, and then half when you actually go to production. So the next step, the next.
I think we paid too early.
Wait a minute. Where's my refund?
Yeah.
they want many, interest on that.
And they want interest. Many counties chose to just simply pay the full amount up front.
Okay. I will see the checks in the mail.
It's very, very modest for Lyon County.
Yes, I know it is, and I'm almost feel guilty about that.
Well,
almost.
Yeah. No, I do feel guilty.
I mean, John Hagen.
She feels guilty. She got caught. That's what she's guilty about right now.
No.
He alluded to the fact that this project was underfunded, and I can take some blame for that. And being new to state government and how long this process was maybe going to take and how complicated it was, we really probably should have slowed down and said we need to identify a dedicated amount of money that's significantly more than what we had tried to move forward with. So the negative is that we've wound up having some of these issues where we've had to sort of fight and scrape and recoalesce resources within the department, change development teams or development process and so forth. The positive is that I think we actually have a process that will work, and we have an application that is in the process of getting to work, whereas if we had waited for X millions of dollars in order to fund the project properly, we may not even be off the ground today. Not sure.
Let me ask one question, and then I know we've got a number of submitters and we've got a number of vendors, and I'd like them to get an opportunity to ask some questions and clarification, because I think it will help you all in dealing with your development activity and dealing with your steering committee to know what issues that may also exist from some of the rest of the folks here in the room. If you were to continue the process of rolling out your CRV that now Dakota's using, that you've been talking about here already, Jason,
yes.
Is that going to in any way, shape, or form impede, slow down, hinder the movement of getting the final ECRB ready for statewide rollout?
Is that the same question?
That's basically the same question I asked. You just asked it much nicer.
We're hoping that the answer is minimally. So we're talking about X number of programmer hours that have not been fully determined. Those programmer hours would be devoted towards helping get Option 2 off the ground. Some of that might, it has a positive business side impact to ECRB, which means that it's not wasted money or diverted money, but it would slow down, say, the number of features or improvements to the system that might be made.
Will you allow an Option 2 submitter to submit all of their CRVs that way, or just those where they electronically record?
I see. I don't have the answer to that question right off the bat.
That's a question I know some of the folks here will probably want to know the answer to. Yes. And it might make a difference to some of them whether or not they would choose to participate
earlier on in the process or whether they defer to it later.
Here's sort of the long answer to that question. I don't think that's a question that revenue can answer independently. That's why I think we need the counties to sign up to say that this is they want to use the front end in this option too, because it's going to be impacting them about as much or more than it is revenue, because they're going to be getting a different form in a different way to the county. And they're going to have to then print those forms, and they're going to be, you know, including those printed copies in their paper process. So I think that part of the statement is the county's saying to us, yes, we want to sign up for this option too, and revenue saying, okay, here's what the process involves. Maybe that's a phone call. Maybe it's a little bit more than that. And then they know who the submitters are that are submitting that way. And so if the submitter is saying, well, I have some percentage of them that are actually being e-recorded that way and some percentage that are not being e-recorded that way, then, you know, the county has to be prepared to be accepting these CRBs in that manner. Now, if I'm just going to leap ahead towards this and say that, you know, from revenue's point of view, we're collecting the private data in the way that we would like to collect it, so that's probably not a problem. And you are then submitting, a different approved paper or approved form to the county, so that's not a problem, but it's whether you're printing it or how you're getting that PDF to the county. So I think it's actually almost more of a county issue than it is an issue for us. But you certainly don't want to just dump that process on counties without them participating in knowing that that's what's happening.
But based
I'm going to interrupt just a second because I understand what you're saying, but I think if I was getting a paper document for somebody to record, I would still expect a paper CRV. Now, I don't care if it's a PDF printed CRV that came from the eCRV system or the old style CRV. It doesn't matter to me. It's still a piece of paper that I got to deal with. The only difference is that I have one copy instead of the multiple copies to deal with, and Anoka County would be satisfied with doing that.
And so I think, you know, you bring up a point that, you know, how the process is handled might be slightly different county to county.
Yep.
One county might say, you know what, we want the paper version of all three of those additional copies of the CRV in your paper, you know, document. Another county would say, I just want the one printed copy, and I'll make the copies. The other county might say, well, go ahead and send me the PDF. I don't know.
Well, I would think that we could do enough arm twisting to get 99 9/10% of the counties to agree to take that PDF printed copy if that would help expedite it, because I'm sure that the submitters would rather, you know, if I'm a submitter and I don't want to do it two ways, I just want to do it one, if that's what they would rather do, I think we could convince.
I could be on the road tomorrow.
Yes.
The question then gets to, you know, if you go with option two and you provide for a PDF electronic submission to a county, which option two will have different questions on it than option,
yes,
than the current paper form. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have paper copies still in this world. And now you're going to have different formats at revenue. And you're comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. The county has to decide whether it's going to be comfortable with that two-tier,
yes,
process.
I can also...
They'd have to register, right? They'd have to proactively say, yes, I'm going to do this,
yep,
and I'll register, and I'll abide by those rules.
Now, you know, that story might change in 6 months. Let's say that in 6 months, you know, we've identified what all the little roadblocks or glitches are in the process, and basically all the counties are saying, hey, you know what, why don't we just move the whole front end part to this? That's possible. If it really, I'm not saying it's probable or anything, I'm just saying it's certainly possible. If that's the case, then the registration idea, sort of the need for that is not there anymore. You know, we just have to see how it goes. I think, you know, we just want to be a little bit cautious up front.
And I can understand that, because basically we did the same thing. We had to register when they were going to e-record to begin with, and then we opened it up for everyone.
There you go.
I mean, we know that process. Mike, Bill has something.
John, you wanted to chime in with something? No.
I just wanted to know if there was anything you wanted to add to what I've been saying.
Bill?
Yeah, Jason, I when you were listing the counties that were next in line, was Sherburne an omission intended, or I believe they were our next
in Dakota? No, they've been given the demonstration and have been working internally. They went through a pause, self-induced pause on their part during the equalization process. And I'm not exactly sure right now, you know, if they are asked. They haven't asked for our logins for the county side. That's how I know that they're not doing much at the moment. So I keep calling them up and say, hey, you know, give me your logins, the login list that you want. And once they get the logins, then I know that they can go in there and work with the test version of the application.
Okay, so they didn't get bumped out of the list?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, thank you.
And Jason, I can tell you from Michelle Ash, the county recorder there, told me at our conference 2 weeks ago that they confirmed exactly what you said about they had some internal issues with their assessor and so forth, and that they had resolved those issues and that they were now ready to proceed to whatever the next step was going to be. So, Bill, you may want to follow up with Michelle on that. And
well, I'll give Brian Kamen a call directly in next week.
Dean, then Jennifer.
Dean, do you want to go first? Small technical bump. Either you have to change PDF to Base64 TIFF, or this commission will have to modify the pre-extensions that they've already written, because it's the only allowed attachment is Base64 TIFF.
Okay, good. Thanks for that heads up. I see John has written that down.
With the option 2, it's opening submitter side statewide. Do you feel like you have the infrastructure for that set up right now?
Well, the reason that option 2 is a way of rolling out ECRV, phasing it in much more quickly, is that the infrastructure need at the revenue side is actually very minimal, because we are not persisting the submission. So what we need to handle is just, you know, the opening up of the form and the interaction with the server during the process of filling out the form and presenting the receipt. And once they've presented that receipt, that's their chance to grab the PDF file. And once they do that, then it's not part of our system, and we aren't. And so the whole process of counties logging in and editing and persisting and editing and persisting is not part of that option. So the short answer is yes. I think the infrastructure is in place for being able to do that.
Mike?
Mark, go ahead.
I'm one of the counties that haven't paid anything in, so correct me if I'm wrong. Is this a pay-to-play environment?
That's
how it's set up, Mark.
It was a requested contribution.
Okay. So if I want to get hooked up sooner, I can make a contribution?
Which county?
St. Louis.
St. Louis County. Yes. I mean, send me an email, and I'll let you know what we were asking for counties to contribute.
Is there a pay structure?
It's roughly $2.50 for each CRV based on the volume in 2005. So St. Louis County had roughly, I don't know, I mean, you know, after Dakota went to down to, it's $39,000 for Hennepin, Dakota is like third at 39,000 in 2005.
You're talking about
CRVs, 13,000 for Dakota, you know, and then 8,000 Washington, 5,000 Olmsted, and it drops very, very rapidly from there. So I'm not sure how much St. Louis has, but it's very, very, very low.
What do you got? A couple thousand, Mark?
$15,000. That's a lot of money to play.
Was that how many? What's your CRVs?
That's what the face number. Sure.
Okay. Well, relative to the amount of resources that we've been, you know, throwing into it, it's a very small piece.
It makes you feel any better, having those 87 marks.
But you have all the money.
They've had my money for 3.5 years. That's the difference.
The process of determining that was that we collected, you know, the group of counties together. We formed for the UCRV project. We formed a subcommittee to deal with what the, you know, the funding pieces are, So the county contribution was looking at trying to collect around a third of what was originally intended to be the augmented cost of the project, which turned out to be way low, by the way. And then we scaled it according to the CRV volume, which means that really for, you know, counties with not a lot of CRVs, the fee was very, very small.
The part I'd like to, you know, speak to Mark's pay to play is that in the beginning we talked about that, and that's why, like I said, I hadn't sent mine in because I thought you had to get through the counties you were on before you were open for more counties.
Sure.
So the option of e-filing or e-CRVs should mean that there's some relief at the county in what we have to handle. Correct?
What does that mean?
Someday,
yes.
What do you mean, relief in what you have to handle?
Well, that we aren't going to have to handle that paper. We're not going to have to take it to another office or send it to another two or three offices to get it to the point it is. We get to move it electronically, which should be some relief.
Productivity improvements.
For the counties, as far as
that's certainly in the full ECRB.
Right, correct.
So for option two, the benefit is you don't have to send in the pink copy.
Right, correct. So when we start looking at, but if you send that in a PDF or whatever TIFF, whatever you said that we have to have it in, I can move that in my county the same way.
That's sort of, you know, up to you and your internal process.
Correct. So what I'm saying is that there are some ways of helping the counties move that and store that in a way in which our customers then have it at an electronic viewing rather than handling paper. I mean, they're in the long run, so counties paying to get into it should be.
Well, let me be clear. I don't think we're talking about, you know, we're not talking about applying the contribution structure on these options.
Correct.
That is only for a full rollout of ECRB.
Correct.
So participating in the option two is not tied to that contribution piece.
Jennifer, you had your hand up.
I got my question.
Okay, then Scott. I think I got my answer too. My question was that there is a roadmap towards a greater electronic process, which allows for the direct importation of data from the submitter and then consequently share it amongst counties. And Larry answered my question for me. So at least that is on the roadmap.
There is an enhancement piece to eventually be able to allow some kind of we've got a schema defined for the ECRB submission, and so is it possible that you can use that schema to import data directly to the revenue process rather than fill it out manually via the form? It's possible. There are some policy issues in that regard, because what will happen is that people will use it as templates, and we're very, very concerned with the volume that will wind up getting templated answers that don't necessarily represent accurately that particular transaction. Mm-hmm. So that's a policy issue that really, we could even say, in a few years when we maybe have that feature available, and then we could say we need to pull back on that feature because our experience has been that we're not getting good compliance on the answers. I think that's sort of the gotcha on that one. And that's also related to another feature that was asked for, which was partial filling out of the form, saving at a point in time, and then reloading your saved version and continuing to submit. Same issue. And it's actually almost the same process.
Because that's where Janine and other counties will see their efficiencies.
Well, that's more on the submitter side.
But he's talking more about sharing the data between the county and the state, you know, so we won't have to re-enter all this stuff.
ECRB does that.
Yeah. Right. That's
the full route of ECRB does that. And so where ECRB is different is that instead of instead of the county, when they get the submit e-recording file to the county would look at the CRV ID and log into the eCRV system, edit and work with the data directly there. They would not be printing it out.
It's very similar to what they're doing in Wisconsin, and it works really, really well.
Sure.
I'll say, just from the submitter side, that is kind of the, I will say, the system was set up very well. It's very user-friendly, and I've watched various people. Essentially, the comments are, if you can fill out a paper CRV, you can do the electronic version. It's laid out very well. That is the one and only complaint for Gotcha, is people that maybe start to fill it out, don't have the answer at that minute, then it's like anything. It's like no save capability, right? And so typing a letter out, you get halfway through, you won't go back, and it's gone. You got to start right from the beginning. That's the one gotcha that stuck there.
And if I can piggyback off that comment, Jeff, sometimes you want to be able to prepare a package in advance, and you don't have all the data until the very day of the transaction. So in order, it's very inefficient not to be able to at least partially fill that form out and save it so that you can put the last few data points in, have it ready, and it can be reported the same day.
Well, what I can say is that it is a feature specifically on the feature enhancement list that has been known and in view by the security team, and I think it's something that we want to try to provide, and we hope that the policy and the use of that feature will allow us to go ahead and put that into production at some point in time and keep it in there. But I guess we'll have to see how it plays out. I mean, part of the issue is that, you know, you've got a large volume of CRVs and not a large number of people available to ensure the accuracy of them. And so it could be a while before, you know, the accuracy of some of those arm's length transaction pieces might become known. I mean, you know, if you've got an arm's length transaction answer that should have been no and was yes, and that could have thrown a particular sale into or out of the equalization process, unless the sale is important, it may get missed. And
is that any different than the issues you face in the paperwork?
I
don't see that as an issue.
But if you are not, well, the difference is that if you have a template, you can automatically just place click and copy that template in. You know, it's another, it adds a layer of error potential in the process. Because it's easy to, you know, are you really reading every question? Or do you do it so many times that you just click, 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 click?
You're saying you don't trust the people that fill them out.
I'm saying it's
that's what you're saying, though, Jason. That really is. That's what it's all about.
Well, when you are,
I'll give you an example. I was just at a closing 2 weeks ago with my daughter's house. And the individual that's buying the house from them, they didn't have all the information to fill out the CRV. But I come to the closing, and they've got everything filled out except for apparently two questions on it. And the closer fills that in at the time because the closer's already got it all filled out walking into that meeting. Now they're prepared, they're ready. Now they can submit it to record. The difficulty you're giving the submitter now is I can't fill it out in advance of the meeting. I've got to wait till I do the meeting, and then I've got to go back and refill it out, and that's not what they want to do in terms of getting it submitted.
And if that's the way that it was done, I sort of agree with you on that. But it also could be done this way, that they come to the closing, they don't have a CRV, and they say, oh, I've got one all pre-filled out. I just load it. And then let's see, make sure I get the questions right, but they skip four or five of them, and, you know.
Then why do you allow anyone to fill out the CRV? It doesn't have to be the buyer or the seller. It can be anybody that has knowledge of the transaction.
Well, that's true.
And your work, I just...
I guess what I see...
Ooh, now my client.
This is a change in role. Are we trying to flip this up here? What I want to know...
No, I'm going to stay for the meeting.
Okay.
Now, let me say that, look, I mean, we're not saying we're not going to do the feature. I'm just saying some of the thought process that goes behind the possibility of maybe not doing it. Okay?
And Jason, I really appreciate the fact that you can sit there so calmly when it feels like people are throwing things at you. We're really not. We just really want to understand.
Sure.
because this is so crucial to us, we want to understand what seems to be important to us and what seems to be important for you to get. And my basic feeling right now is that what a person puts in on an electronic form of CRV would not be any different than what they did when they filled it out, and it would be readable.
Sure.
I mean, if you go to a closing and you don't have it filled out, this is what you use.
Well, let me just say, this is what you use,
and you scribble it down. I think that if you have the ability to fill it out and save it and do those last two things, there has to be a button in there that says, if all blanks are not filled in, this won't go when I push.
Right.
I mean, I have lots of those in my office that well, I call it the idiot light, like on a car. You know, it comes up and says, nope, everything's not filled in. It won't go, and I have to go back up and see what it is that I didn't fill in. I refill it in, hit submit, and it goes.
Well,
I don't.
My response here is that, hey, it's on the feature list. We've acknowledged that it's something that you want.
Okay. Because I don't want to leave the submitter.
And it's also really not the issue before us, which is the options for the recording.
Right. And I agree. It's just to understand that they are going to get they're going to get their need met eventually too. It'd be very easy for us, and I'll be real too. It'll be very easy to take number one and move ahead. That would accomplish what we need.
It doesn't get rid of the Smith-Morona 400.
No. And I do understand that. And that's why the questions are being asked. Is the commission could make some kind of statement or motion or recommendation to you as what we feel is needed for e-recording, which might help you in your process of getting things done to have the support of what the commission would like.
That's why we presented two options today.
And yet I do not want to spend a lot of time on level two if it deters us from getting to level three, because we can live with level one for a while. You know, we can do that. But if going ahead and creating level two is not, I mean, if you're talking 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out, you know, you're fine, but you push the 1st of December, you're in trouble.
Right.
And what we're really trying to do, and I think your points act really well for it, and I understand the need for having that, so when you come to closing, you just have a couple boxes to check and off it goes. But we're trying, and the reason Jason's presenting two options, the steering committee has endorsed two options, is we're trying to accommodate as much as possible and make the whole process as easy in the interim as it can be for you. And that's critical. The steering team, it's critical to the steering team that we can accommodate you as much as possible.
And again, I pay tax dollars too. I don't want to reinvent the wheel and spend money over and over to do the same project. So, you know, if number two is a lead-in or the work you do on number two works for number three, then, you know, that says something to me, is that maybe it is the medium ground for us at this point.
Well, I think that, you know, what we're also saying, hopefully, is that we see a lot of really strong synergies and advantages to the option two. So if we can all try to do it that way, I think we want to.
Question, if I can raise back for Dean, that raised the TIFF versus the PDF issue. Dean, the issue is, this is not a recordable document. We don't record this document, so I'm not sure it would make any difference or that we even need to create that type of a standard. Give me your feedback to that. This is what we would refer to as more of a helper document that needs to be accompanying a package to be recorded, but it is not a document that gets recorded. So in that case, would it make any difference? Could it be either way?
Not if it's part of a package.
If we're requiring it to be part of the package to be submitted.
Because there's a technical requirement for producing and
converting
that package.
You could change your current requirements or your extensions of PREA to also include PDF. I mean, PREA is wide open to the world, so you could just say also PDF or whatever else you wanted. But it would take a change. It would take a modification.
A modification to our standards.
To the current extensions of PREA, yes.
Yeah.
And is that from the vendors that are here, Dean included?
I'd rather the state did it. I'd rather the state turn it into a TIFF.
I mean, if the state's going to put a button on here that says PDF, put another button that says TIFF. Your conversion of data into a TIFF is going to be significantly less than Dallin's, or, I mean, because you're doing it, he's going to have to either take the PDF and then convert it to TIFF and then attach it. If you already get the TIFF from you, attach it and off it goes.
We can accommodate both right now. So.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask the vendors, is does it make a difference whether it's PDF or TIFF?
I'm
or
with Dean.
You're with Dean. Bill?
It's the submitter that matters, not us.
Not
either
you.
Way it works. If the submitter can get it to us, either way, that's not a problem.
And the reason we've chosen the TIFF is because that has been historically
for black.
The Historical Society's standard archival here for the state of Minnesota at this point. Have I still got you on? No, Bob isn't here. I'm sorry. What's your name?
Sean.
Okay. From the Historical Society, you're still with us?
Sean?
She's looking for the mute button. Sean, you still there? No? Okay.
Sean is history.
She's history.
Oh, Ryan, that's pretty good.
Sean is a TIFF. Okay.
Well, I don't think the Historical Society is going to care because, again, it's not something we're recording.
Right.
It is just a helper document that we use for our internal processing, and it's not part of the permanent record.
Right.
I think we would take that request as something that, if we could do, we would do, but it sounds like that if it was an option between doing option two with a PDF or not, or saying it's going to, you know, add some additional cost or resource that would delay it, that you would not hold it up because of the TIFF.
This body would just need to modify, make a change.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a vote as opposed to any labor at all.
There was a question. Marty did.
Well, I was just going to chime in at some point here and thank the department for being here and being open-minded and having and presenting a couple of options. I was actually on the commission, Beth, when it was a task force for like 99, 2000, 2001, something like that, and took a long hiatus because of, in those days, it was very obviously it was going to take a long time before we got to the point of being able to record these. And now we're really anxious and excited about the potential that this is here now. This isn't some future, someday, maybe thing. I would encourage you to go with option two if that's going to save us the being able to get rid of the the typewriters that the people we're hiring these days didn't even know exist yet. It's like a dial and a dial phone for them. They haven't seen those either. But if that's going to take another year and option one would get us there next week, I'd be voting for option one.
Right.
Because I think we can accommodate between us and whoever we're using as vendors to submit this stuff electronically, we could figure out a way to go either way, one way or another. But other states, I can't believe, understand pink and yellow and white or whatever they are anymore. And I know Wisconsin, North Dakota, Iowa, couldn't do a whole lot more with some of this stuff than what we can in Minnesota. So thank you, and take the next step to get us to option two sooner rather than later. And if it is going to be later, then I think we want to go towards option one.
Thank you.
Hey, Rob, may I add to that? Yes, and again, thank you, because we really want to move beyond this budget platform. If it turns out, with a scenario where option one is the more reasonable for the immediate use, is there a synthesis or a method by which, and I think some of the vendors may have an option to work with this, where we could still find a way to dispense with the quadruplicate form and have a single page put into an image format and transmitted, along with perhaps a tweak by the vendor of the submitting documentation that wraps that image
and that be sent off separately to the DOR. Is that a conversation that you guys can have to maybe find a way to do that?
We could have a conversation. The difficulty still remains the Social Security number in that scenario.
Right.
Because if you have the original form, by keeping it the original form, then the Social Security number gets on the pink copy, and the pink copy gets sent in that format. Any other solution tends to say, well, we're capturing the Social Security number on a non-paper electronic format that's existing outside of the DOR.
That's something that the DOR would not be willing to explore.
At this point, the security and we met with our lawyers in-house and our security team in-house, and they're not comfortable with allowing the Social Security numbers to be captured in any electronic form outside of the revenue office.
Which is the whole process of
number two. An alternative that you're sort of hinting at, that I'll just leap towards, is to say, well, write the Social Security numbers on the bottom part of the pink form and fill out the rest of it in kind of an electronic version that you've been providing, you know, separately. Is it possible? It's, you know, it's certainly something we can discuss. I think that, you know, we're a little wary about getting into a scenario where we have multiple versions of the CRV form, and frankly, prior policy has been that's just not acceptable. And so I think that, you know, that's another way of saying that the version of option two has some strong merit. Basically, that's the answer to your question is, okay, we could get going in option one if option two is going to delay, but let's get to option two as an answer to your question.
Well, mine's a little bit different. It's probably for Mike and the commission. If there's an issue with the TIF and the PDF, can we get Dean and Pam and Larry on that for, say, next month's meeting if it's just a procedure change that needs to be done? Or is it something that could be brought forward, like in short order?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
This could be at the next meeting that, you know, we keep the process moving versus delaying it another month beyond that or anything.
That's still going to stand to sync up with potential release of option two, right?
Well, the issue is he needs to know what's on that form before they can do the link up, and I don't know if that's been fully established or defined yet.
Clearly we'd have to look at the additional costs on that, but I don't think it's going to delay us being able to report at the next month to meet, you know, the specific dates and expectations.
Well, Jason and John, let me just again reiterate what you've heard, certainly from
got a question over here.
Some of our customers, Dallin. Yes.
Are you making wrap up statements?
I'm going to make kind of a wrap up summary. Yes.
Okay.
You got something
really
else? Go ahead.
Yeah. As you know, Jason, there's other counties that are ready to go. Clay County, as you know, turned on basically an option one format, and they're very willing and anxious to go. So there's the comment. I would hate to see a delay when the technology and county recorders and, frankly, submitters. I mean, again, the Fargo-Moorhead combination where you have across the river 260 doc types, Minnesota side, you know, very limited, is, I know, it's extremely frustrating to them. Second's a question. How can we help? You know, the vendors have offered a number of us in the room. Is there anything else we can do to help?
And We appreciate the offers to assist, and I guess, you know, due to the nature of revenue and the nature of how we have to proceed with these things, to date we haven't identified a way in which you can, you know, assist us further, but we certainly have brought that to the attention of the steering team.
Good.
And I will continue to do that.
Good.
Mark could use $15,000.
Have you looked at encryption for the Social Security number?
Yes, we have, and you know that is there's possible scenarios where we could encrypt the Social Security number in alternatives that actually we did not present today.
that were discarded for one reason or another. Again, the process is that, you know, there's a moment in time or two moments in time when it's not encrypted. We would either have to provide an alternate form. So one of the examples, for instance, that we did not present is that we provide a separate web page for entering the Social Security number pieces on. If we're going to do that, why don't we do option two instead? You know, which essentially is collecting the Social Security number. So, yes, there were a number of possibilities down those paths, but I think that these two options wind up being actually the least resource cost with the highest protection of the Social Security number.
Well, my comment is to thank the department for seeing our needs and listening to our needs, for understanding that it is now, you know, on the front burner and boiling, and that it's probably time for us to quit looking at options that might be available, but to take an option that is there and move forward, so that we aren't always second guessing ourselves. Should we try this? Should we try this? Should we try this? And I'm a great believer in the future that if you build something and it needs changing, it can be changed. If you never build it and you just talk about what changes are needed, there's no change to be made. It just never gets built. So, you know, my personal feeling is let's quit asking. Let's quit asking for more than what we can have developed in the next month or two, and get it out, get it working, and make revisions, or whatever the proper technical term is for that, as we need to. But we may find that this works very well. It works very well in the back end of counties, and we're not putting any pressure on counties by doing number two that they aren't already doing. So we're not adding to a county's cost. We're not adding to new software, new hardware, new anything. So we're not setting a standard here that someone is not going to e-record because of. And yet, you know, we've opened up the opportunity. And to me, the CRV, you know, it's the submitter. This has been the issue for the submitter. How we get it, we don't get it done. We do. Don't get me wrong. We do. But it's the submitters who won't file the e-record because of the CRV. So we're moving forward with this. And if at this time, Mike, you think it's time for a motion for the commission to promote, or what's the word I want, Mike?
Endorse.
One or the other. I would like to make a motion that the commission endorse moving ahead with model two. Okay. And it's that time frame now. That is all about December.
September.
September. I already said I was retiring in September. I don't want to move that ahead.
Let me just reiterate what you've heard. I'm most appreciative, you know, for the department's efforts. I appreciate the hard work that obviously has gone in, the thought that's gone in, the effort here. I do very much like what you come up with in terms of your option two, but I also hear clearly that, you know, that at the earliest is probably 2 months out, and it's still a probably type scenario. I can certainly live with option one for now, and I think we can certainly adopt option two whenever it becomes available, which I think as a commission we would jump at that point in time. I don't see any downside of even considering approving option one today as a commission, and thank the department, and you can come back and report on option two next month, and you know, basically, you're going to have our support pretty much wholeheartedly in moving to that option two as soon as it's feasible and practical. I would tell you just one thing, and it hasn't been talked on from a county perspective. when we get to the CRV electronic version, the issue that is most of concern to counties, and maybe the bigger the county, the bigger the concern, will be the ability to electronically download the information that's submitted to you all back to our back-end systems at the county, and for our people in the assessor's office to be able to electronically possibly submit or hand key in to your CRV electronic system the information that we add at the county level to the state's process. That is, to me, without that, you will never have a complete system. And that ability to download, upload back and forth between our counties and the state's operation is critical. And that, to me, has to be, don't call it an enhancement feature, please, or I will get very upset and nervous, because that's the reason Hennepin County paid in the $87,000, because that's what we thought we were buying in for. And if we don't get that, that's a major concern. And that will certainly be a concern that this commission will continue to press and push. But with that, I'm certainly comfortable of even considering moving ahead with the option one for now. Do I hear any concern that anybody would have? I mean, it would at least make it possible for various counties and various submitters that wish to record deeds and other documents electronically possible going forward, and being able to do it probably as early as in the next few weeks. I think there's some things that would have to be worked out with the department relative to who are those submitters. And we do have a list of trusted submitters and the counties that are electronically recording. And I think it would make it possible to move ahead with that at this point. Now, will it make a difference with submitters say, no, we wouldn't want to do that or not? You tell me.
They do the Toyota jump all the way down.
My only concern would be is if we endorse, if number two is going to be available in we're always, in any dates we pick, it's speculative, but if option two is going to be available in 2 months, but because we start with option one now, option two won't be available for a year, then I don't like going down option one. But if I don't know when option two is ever going to happen anyway, we can start option one now. Let's get her going. And if option one only delays option two by a few weeks or whatever, then maybe timing is critical. We want to start now.
Well, let me.
But I don't want the better options delayed.
Let me repeat that. You know, we intend to come back in a month and report some firm dates for both option one and option two, or option two only. And essentially what we're saying is that, well, we've got prep work to do to establish the process, the sign-up process and so forth. That has to happen regardless of which option we do. In the meantime, we're going to vet out and find out what a firm date on option two is, and we can report at that point. You know, we might be saying at the next month meeting that if we either have a date for option two, that we say this is the one we've committed to and here's the date and we think it's going to work in with your time frame, or we're going to say here's the date for option one and it might be very, very quick after that meeting.
So basically we could kind of hold you to if we wait 30 days for well, it's not even 30 days because it's 3 weeks 15, from now, yeah. If we hold you to a date that you'll either be ready to start with number one at that time, or you will have a date for us for process two within and that date. Are we looking?
We will have a very strong estimate for process two at the next meeting.
The commission's next meeting date is the 15th of July. So I just give you, before you respond, Jason and John, just know that's the next scheduled date. This one is kind of off cycle for a number of reasons here that we
and
have.
And I myself won't be in the state on the 15th.
Yeah, Mike, there's several others that won't be there either. Scott, Mark, Bill, and I won't be here that day either.
Okay.
But that's fine.
Well, maybe we should look at.
Well, maybe we should push it back a week.
That would help
a lot.
Yes. The chair wouldn't mind that either, as a matter of fact.
And we're not going together, we're just going the same place. I suppose I could lighten this place up. Let him think about that one for a while.
That'd be a good 20 seconds, then.
Well, I know that Revenue would appreciate that additional week, given that it's not a full month out, and I would it myself.
Right. Well, that was an item I was going to take up under other businesses when we want to meet again, because I know we've got new members that are coming on board and what people's mm-hmm. schedules are and so forth. But I think that's certainly very doable, is to put that off. Let me ask, would the commission feel comfortable in terms of giving Revenue basically the go-ahead? We do appreciate the effort. We can live with both of your options. We prefer option two, if that can be gotten to ASAP. But if it creates somewhat of a delay, we're prepared to endorse and support option one and putting it in effect as soon as possible. Okay. And does anybody have any concern about that approach? Now, I know my friends up in Clay County would like to be able to start recording some deeds, like 4:30 yet this afternoon, Dallin. You ready with that?
Yes, we are.
and that they have a particular issue that's different than probably anybody else from a competitive standpoint. And that's why I was saying I would be, for one, willing to even go ahead with option one, ASAP, even before the next meeting, for that particular reason. But I can live with, you know, waiting until the 21st or the 2nd of July. I don't know what that...
22nd is.
22nd would be a Thursday then on that.
Mr. Chairman, what's the competition in Clay County? Are people bringing their Minnesota documents to North Dakota to report?
They're making poor Moorhead look like a second-class suburb of Fargo. That's the issue that I keep hearing.
And
making Minnesota look like they're not very business accommodating and so forth.
And I have received emails from Clay County to this effect, so we are aware of that situation.
Right, I know you are, and I...
Can I be clear on this? Are we looking at option one as an interim process?
That's what I think. I think all of us on the commission would see that as an interim.
Option two as soon as possible.
Yep.
Is that right? So couldn't we just proceed with option one, not this minute, but is put the thing...
Well, what I was trying to say is that we're not going to be able to turn option one on, you know, before the 22nd, because we've got some policy things that we need to work through, and we need to talk with counties to do that. But all that stuff we need to do, regardless of whether it's option one or two. In the meantime, we're going to be able to, through the steering team, find out what the day is for option two. So at the next meeting, we'll be able to say, we can turn on option two at this time frame.
Okay.
And I caution against, you know, if option one is just going to be, you know, X number of weeks, and yes, there's some pain involved in those X number of weeks, but, you know, we do not want to create more confusion out there than is necessary. People will get confused between one option versus the other option.
And I would come with the same response. First of all, you said that with talking to counties, you'd have to do on either option, but pretty soon you have some coming in one way, and then you have some coming in the other, and then the person didn't switch over because so I can understand that from your point of view. I would like to keep your end of the hassle the least amount as well as ours, but I do think that really depends on how firm a date we get on the 22nd. Because if you're talking 4 months out or 5 months out, then we need to go to option one.
If you're talking
30 to 45 days out, then let's go with two and bypass the number of one. Because I don't think one helps our submitters. It does help our submitters, but it just doesn't help them the way they need to be helped. And that's the one thing the commission is supposed to be able to do, is to have a broader vision than just who sits on the board.
Yes, so. And I think we share that. We're in sync in that view.
It's not all about Lyon County?
No, it's not all about Lyon County. It never has been all about Lyon County, Mike, and you know that.
It's all about you.
No, it's not all about me. I've made this trip this many times for for me. It's probably going to be
okay. Do we need any kind of a resolution or anything? I think probably at this point not.
No.
But we would look forward to your maybe return next month. Kind of give us an update in terms of what is feasible at what point in time. And we can then just make a decision at that point. And if option two looks like it's a little further out than maybe what we'd all like, we look at, as a commission, wanting to endorse option one to move forward ASAP then.
Okay.
And I think that's basically where we're all coming from. Jeff, you comfortable
absolutely.
With that approach?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be nice to say, yeah, let Clay County do it today. I don't know if that's an option, but
yeah, I mean,
that's a DOR decision than.
And like I said, if they have to do some upfront interfacing work for just a few weeks, we all know that's costly. We all know that takes time and energy away from something else. So if you're talking, I have something.
She gets to do it. Because she's close to North Dakota, I get to do it because I'm close to Iowa.
You can't be worried about competition from Iowa, are you?
And therein lies part of the problem. And once you sort of make an exception here and there, it snowballs very, very.
Right, and that's the first thing I would have thought of. Well, hell, if she can do it, I can do it. So I understand that issue and
okay. Well, thank you. We will proceed along those lines. We look forward to your return next month, and thank you again, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Appreciate the steering committee's good work, foresight, creativity. Thank you. And thank you to a lot of the outside folks for coming today, participating, and sharing. I think it was very beneficial for everybody in moving forward. Let me just touch here, if we go down the agenda, on subcommittee reports. Trusted submitter. Jeff, I know you haven't had any meetings on that, but
Nope. One
of the things that became clear here this afternoon, I think we need to take a little time to polish up, our trusted submitter list, and I think we need to find a way to be able to get that published for interested parties on our website so that people would have access to that. The other thing, and I did talk briefly to Eileen Roberts, and she's willing to discuss the trusted submitter agreement that we've had in the past that we need to take another look at here as we're moving forward and make sure that those that wish to be trusted submitters can sign up with that and we get that into the commission so that Sally and Diane can have copies of that. So,
well, and it'd be kind of nice as well, I think, because as we started that trusted submitter agreement, it sits now with the county or an individual county, and you only have to fill one out. There's no central.
And we need to get that centrally located with the commission so that can be out on the website. Any submitter that wants to look at it, any vendor, you know, that needs to find out who are the trusted submitters, they can go out and they can see that agreement. And I think we almost ought to put the individual agreements out there themselves as to who signed them and stuff. But I think that would be something that I would be comfortable having out there.
It'd be nice to have it in one place because it's a, from our standpoint, you signed one way back with Dakota, and I think we're doing some with individual counties. And now we really just decided to have the one, and, you know, it'd just be nice to have one central spot for it. And now that this commission lives, there's a spot. There wasn't a spot.
Right, and then I know there's some question about trying to find some of those from the SOS days, too. But
I think we have pretty much.
Got them?
I mean, well, it's as good as the records are, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was an issue there on that, so. Yeah. And then the county recording report, I'm going to handle that quickly also. I have talked with Larry Deline, and he and Chris and Pam have agreed to start meeting to discuss possible new document types, and specifically the modification of mortgage is the item number one that we want to try and bring back ASAP for approval, because we are seeing a significant number of those here at the present time. So we did have that discussion as a follow-up from our last meeting. And again, I would ask our friends on the industry side if there are other that you want us to put attention and time on, let us know what they are. This will be the first one that we'll be looking at something that is not a uniform conveyancing blank, but we'll probably be using the, I think it's called a modification of mortgage, or no, there's another one,
yeah.
Amendment, mortgage amendment?
Amendment to
mortgage that is a standard, I mean, it's basically the same thing. Matter of fact, sometimes submitters use that for a modification, and then we get people saying, well, this is a modification, not an amendment. And
that's why we went down to 11 types.
Yep. Yep. But anyway, that we will that will we work on. There are a number of other issues, but I think we've got some other business to attend to here today as well. So anything else, county recorder-wise? Change in members. Next item on the agenda. And I think we have two new members that are going to be joining the commission here starting at officially next month. One of them has already been here with us, Kay Ruckey, and she's been a long-term attender of meetings, and she's been appointed by the MACO chair to join the commission here. So, Kay, congratulations and welcome. Glad to have you aboard. Glad you know the history. Glad you're right on board. And you've got your lines that you have to participate with here. You heard Janine with her lines. So appreciate, Kay, your support and willing to serve and join the effort here on, for another 4 years. The benefit we've got with Kay coming on board is that she, too, is at the national level and is a vice president of PREA, been very active in PREA, and she's kind of carried on that Minnesota tradition that we've had here of being super active in PREA, and has kind of followed in the footsteps of Mark. I won't say that Mark Monticelli was your mentor and teacher, because I wouldn't wish that on you, Kay, in that sense, but Mark certainly has set the stage for Minnesota's involvement at the national level, and you certainly filled in on that, and we're glad to have you aboard on that front. And then we have a new auditor-treasurer, Jeff Walker, from Itasca County, who will also be joining us. And I'll have to say, I do not know Jeff, and I'm looking very much forward to meeting him and working with him. But, you know, we all know that Jeff comes from, is it Unger County, where Larry Unger originated from? And
Larry Wright.
From Wright, yeah, right.
Larry
Wright from Unger County. Anyway, if Jeff's anything like that, I look forward to working with Jeff, and I'm sure he will be in addition. But then that brings us to really, I think, the most significant topic of the day, and that is a couple of folks that have been with us for the last 2 years on the commission, and I think we need to pay a special tribute to Ryan Tangen. Ryan, I hope you're still there.
I'm listening.
No. We are very appreciative of your participation over the last 2 years with us. You have certainly been willing to participate, contribute, and to work with your colleagues around the state in an environment that has not always been as conducive as we wanted, with some technology issues and problems. And I know, Ryan, you've had some health issues and challenges here in the last couple of years or so, and I certainly appreciate your participation, your support, and your willingness to help move this effort forward. I hope you will work with us with your successor in Jeff Walker and help with that transition with him, to kind of help him get up to speed and work with all of us. And I certainly wish you the best of success and luck. And, you know, He spent the first year having trouble attending meetings because we had this election here a couple of now years ago. It dragged on for the first year of his year on the commission. And so he's had a wealth of knowledge and experience. So I certainly appreciate your time and effort, Ryan. It's much appreciated.
Well, this is such an important piece. And, you know, you've heard that over and over again today, that we need to continue moving forward. So this is kind of the way of the future. And I feel bad stepping down, but I've talked with Jeff Walker, and I really think that he's going to be a great contribution to the committee. I just, like you brought up too, with that health concern and some of the other things that come in, I just had to really rearrange some things in my life at this point in time. And I appreciate the confidence of being able to serve with you guys. And it's a great committee, and I wish you the best, and I hope to buy one. Not that I won't be able to monitor it, because I'll be seeing it here. I know Darlene's waiting to see some of the reporting to come through as well. So thank you, and I apologize for some of the delays on my part, but I wish you all well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. You could do one last thing for us. Give us some feedback about how is it calling in and listening, and can you hear things, and how is it working?
Actually, the calling in works out pretty darn well. You know, and I had full intentions of being down there today because I was going to make the last meeting, doggone it, and all heck breaks loose. You know how the best laid plans are always disrupted. The calling in works well. Of course, with some of the presentations, it's a little more difficult to follow along. This phone worked really well when we first started doing the phone conferences. The room was so big, and then that phone system didn't work very well. Like, the only person you could really hear then was you, but now it picks up really well, it seems. And as long as you can hear the other people participating, it is really easy to follow along.
And today you could hear even the presentations coming from Jason and John Hagen, and could you hear the questions coming from the participants?
I could, and the only time I really lost anybody was when I came on during introductions. And there must be a far part of the room because there were a few people I could still hear them, but it was just you had to listen really close. Otherwise, it's been very well attended today.
Okay. Well, thank you. That gives us feedback that we need as well. So I appreciate that, Ryan. And then let me turn my attention to the other retiring member of our commission, who is the lady to my left. The lady who always makes certain that I never get the last word. The lady who is my country cousin for such a long time, who has had a passion for this electronic recording business since I ran into her and she started teaching me about technology up in Grand Rapids. When she got computers into the room and said, you know, you either get with it or you get retired because recording is going to not become part of the lexicon if we don't start doing the electronic thing. And she went from being the paper queen to being the electronic queen, as she has for the last 10 years, and her patience has certainly mellowed, I might say, over the last 10 years as she's become a little less outspoken, as she's gotten a little more mature. But
my grandma always said you got to say whatever you wanted to when you get older.
Because you never remember it. Anyway, Janine, you have been a dear to work with. I appreciate your hard work. I commend you for your commitment. You put in countless hours on the road to participate with us on numerous times. You've never been at a loss for words about what's the right thing to do. You've always had your eye on the end zone, and you haven't always drawn a straight line to get there, but you've been willing to zigzag as well as anybody I've ever known. So, Janine, thank you on behalf of certainly the commission, and I think all your colleagues in the room here. You have been a dear and a huge successful contributor to the Electronic Recording Commission standards, and we did get it done. I was trying to get a standard even today that you could record one yet in Lyon County, but I found out you hadn't paid your bill yet. Anyway.
I get the checks in the mail.
I figured you were dealing with one department that's heard that line before. Anyway, Janine, thank you so much on behalf of all of us on the commission and those who have worked with you. And we do expect you to come back and visit us from time to time because you're still on the payroll here until the end of the year. So. And thank you, and God bless, and we look forward to seeing you at that other place together.
First of all, I want to thank you for letting me participate. Other people would have probably just been kicked out the door a couple times, but I do appreciate you letting me live my passion, and I will continue to hopefully contribute or write somebody to ask or do whatever.
There you go.
But Mike referred back to Grand Rapids when I stood in the front of the group and wore bib overalls and said, you know, I can either think like my father that we didn't need all this stuff and just sit on the porch and rock away, or I could get with it and move forward and get tattoos and my ears pierced and something else to move along with technology. But I didn't have to put those overalls on another time. I think after that everybody knew I was ready to move forward. And I've done a lot of other crazy things to support electronic recording and dressed up in a whole bunch of funny costumes. And I tried to speak as often as I could about it and to whomever would listen. And I became very frustrated often when people said, well, it's never going to affect me, it's never going to affect me. Well, it wasn't that you're not going to do it. I mean, it's kind of like I said earlier, to have something and tweak it is a whole lot better than never having anything to get started. So I feel real confident that by the December when I leave, as many counties who want to will be recording packages of documents, including electronic CRDs. And thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you. We also have some special treats. And I must tell you, you've even impacted the staff of the LCC. And Diane made some special things herself.
I saw a box. Sully made the cupcakes.
And Diane and Sally very much wanted you to make sure that you knew that they considered you sweeter than your bark.
Just make sure I stay on the list. Don't cut me off the list. You cut me off the list, I'll find out.
Anyway, thank you, Janine, very much. And then let me just add future meetings. Kay, you've already said the third Thursday of the month has generally been the meeting date that was established here a couple of years ago. We've had a few problems here in the last couple of months with issues between legislature and financial systems that have been rolled out here in the state that we couldn't meet those particular dates. And we've probably had a few changes here, but what works well? Jeff, dates-wise?
That works. We have the 22nd, right?
Mm-hmm. July 22nd. If we were to move it, that would be the fourth Thursday in the month of July, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that works for me. Otherwise, just continue with the third.
Kay, yeah. How about you?
The third is fine. It's just these
this
two,
particular month.
Yeah, it just happens.
Yep. Yep. And I don't know about Jeff. I haven't talked to him to see what his situation is. But if we're okay with that, why don't we just go ahead and at least for the July meeting plan to conduct it on the 22nd? And then at that meeting, we'll end up, I guess, having elections and so forth for leadership. And then I think the commission should take up the meeting schedule going forward at that point and at least have everybody have a chance to participate in it. So why don't we do that for now? We'll move the date to the 22nd, Thursday. Do it in this building if that's okay with members. It seemed to work well. At least the phone conversations were easy to hear. I could hear all of the outsiders well, and they obviously could hear us, so that's a step up, which might make it possible for some of you to attend technology-wise and still feel like you know pretty much what's going on and following it. And I know that was difficult to do at the MCIT building. But we might still have to go back over there during legislative session again next year, depending on, you know, where things are at and how high a priority we have in the pecking order. But we'll deal with that when the time comes. So if people are comfortable, we can continue to meet here in this building for the time being. So,
is the call-in option available to those of us that aren't on the commission?
Yes. Okay. In this building, we can make that available to any of the outsiders. Yes.
Is that on the website, the number to call in?
No,
or I just email somebody or call somebody.
Oh no, I had been sending out an email list of stakeholders, but we can also post that information on the website too. Don't you think?
Uh-huh. If it's always the same number. We have two phones here, and it depends on if somebody has the other one.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So it might change.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Are you on the stakeholder list?
I don't think I am. I did just add it there.
Okay.
Get your name on the list because I think in some sense it might almost be better if that was sent out monthly rather than just put it out on the website in general.
Yeah.
Is there a limitation on how many can?
A little bit. I mean, it can have 30 or something like that. But you know, the more they kind of recommend to have 15 or something like that. So.
I mean, I'd like to accommodate everybody we can, but I just think it might be better to just have all of those that are signed up, that we include that with the notice that goes out to them so that they know that.
Sure.
That's
fine.
Yep.
We'll get you on the list.
I'm actually closer to home here at the end of the day than I am at my office. But
he may not want that option to be on his. He just wants to know when they are.
In case I want somebody else to call in.
He may want to come and attend. Any other business anybody have? Comments, suggestions, anything, anybody else? I think I'm going to ask Bill and Kay just a quick update on Priya, how things went this past week.
Good.
Super. Quick update. Very nice.
Right, Bill?
Scott? I was thinking on the way down here if there was anything that specifically to be reported. Priya's expanding some its view on certain things, looking at some other topics that are related, but I don't know that they impact this group significantly, but it was a good, very good session.
And let me just share with all of you, I talked to Bill prior to the meeting today in terms of the end of the year report, and Bill had prepared for Priya a white paper about the advantages of electronic recording. And I talked to him about us being able to tap that portion of the report and add it to our end of the session report. And Bill has said, absolutely, we need to make certain we give Priya credit for that that component of it. But I thought that would again show our continuing relationship with Priya going forward, and I think shows again what the advantages are for electronic recording, be it here in Minnesota or anywhere else in the country in that sense. So. Diane, I'll follow up with you on that, but Bill is really the author of that.
I was on one of the
co-chairs. He's on the committee, but you know, he's a closet author already that we all know about, his famous book.
Bill's been a key player on that, and whether he admits to that or not, he's been the mover on that. So,
yep.
And he's taken the Minnesota things and used them in there, so Bill needs to take some credit for it.
Well, we, you
know. So when you read it, then you remember Bill.
It really was a team effort, truly was.
Mike, I'm going to chime in there. That's probably one of the best documents I've seen Priya come out with. That's one of the most usable documents.
Yep.
It takes it to a very practical level. It doesn't
right.
talk over anybody's head. It's fantastic.
Right. And in this one time, Bill, you don't need to be shy about this one. No, I
he was a group member.
He was.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Anybody have anything else then? If not,
I move to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
And that's not a debatable motion.
No.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you, Janine, and let's all help ourselves to some treats.